as far back as I can remember, the beginning of each year has been a time when folks take stock of themselves and consider what they've been doing. And another thing that we do is we look and say, I don't spend enough time in God's Word. I want to read a little more. I've read stories in the past of such things that the Bible gets the most use in the first 3 weeks of the month of January. Others say it gets more use then than it does all the rest of the year. Maybe you've seen the poem that's supposedly written from the Bible's point of view, that as it comes around to the new year, oh, everybody will be looking at me now. And certainly it is a time of renewing and refreshing, and a time for us to get started with those things again. And in doing my Bible reading, I've been doing some reading in various places and have taken some reading from Psalm 119. And as I read that, it impressed upon me that the attitude that the psalmist has there toward the Word of God is an attitude that we ourselves need to make sure that we are developing. And the only way to do that is to do like the psalmist and spend time in the Word of God. Some might look and say, well, why? Why should I read from the Bible every day? What should be a motivating factor that would cause me to think, after I've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that I should sit down every day and read from the Word of God? Well, part of what we're going to talk about this evening is some reasons why. But to start off this evening, I want to read to you a story. Or actually, I'm going to kind of summarize a story that I read that it's a parable because it puts forth a very important principle that I think we need to recognize in regards to the Word of God. And it touched me because as it starts out, it talks about a grandfather whose grandson was living with him. And the grandfather was habitually, every morning, get up, read from the Word of God. He'd read from the Word of God on a daily basis. And the grandson, as most grandsons want to be, wanted to be just like his grandfather, and so he was reading. And he would read the Word of God. And one day he asked Grandfather, why do I keep reading this? Why do you read so much? I read and I read and I read, and I can't seem to hold on to any of it. I can't remember it. I can't see any benefit from it. And maybe this was back in the old days of John's time, but the grandfather took the basket that he had been filling the coal stove up from and handed it to his grandson and said, go down to the creek and get me some water. And the grandson looks at the basket and he knows what's going to happen, but he goes down to the creek and he grabs water and he brings that basket back and he gets back, Grandfather, there's no water here. The grandfather says, well, you need to hurry, you need to run. So he goes back down. He dips it down, gets water, and he runs back to the house. There's nothing here, Grandfather. See, it's useless. Let me get a bucket out. I don't want a bucket of water. I want a basket of water. You need to run faster. So the grandson knows it's useless, but he goes down wanting to do what his grandfather asked, and he gets that basket of water and runs back just as fast as he can. And he gets to the grandfather, see, Grandfather, it's all gone. I can't do this. And then the grandfather says, look at the basket. And the young boy looked at the basket and noticed for the first time it wasn't covered in coal dust anymore. It was clean. And the grandfather told his grandson, this is what reading the Word of God does. It cleans you from the inside out. And while the story doesn't say this, I would say if you took that basket and weighed it after it had been carrying or trying to carry that water all those times, it weighed more than it did when he started out. Why? Because some of it stuck. Folks, one of the main reasons for reading from the Bible on a consistent manner is because the Bible cleanses us from the inside out. The more time we spend with the Word of God, the better our lives are going to be. We're going to be more righteous. it's going to cause us to change. And so we want to consider this evening some reasons why we ought to read the Bible daily. And I'll tell you now, there's going to be a lot of passages from Psalm 119. We'll have some passages from elsewhere also. But Psalm 119 is where we're going to spend a lot of time this evening as we consider these reasons. And these are not reasons that are unique to me or that I've come up on my own. In fact, I think J.B. found some of them or them in a picture somewhere. And I looked and they compared them with some others I had, and some of the scripture references I decided on other than what was listed there. But they're reasons, and they're valid reasons, and they're things we ought to consider. And the first one, if we want to follow God's commands, we need to read from the Bible. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, a passage familiar to all of us, Jesus said to the Jews that had believed in Him, "If you continue in My word, then you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But also want us to consider what the psalmist had to say in Psalm 119, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 8. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 8. And coincidentally, we'll have a lot of 8 verse references in Psalm 119. "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in His ways. You have ordained Your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all Your commandments. I will give thanks to You with uprightness of heart. When I learn Your righteous judgments, I shall keep Your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly." Later on in that same chapter, beginning in verse 105, Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and will confirm it, that I will keep Your righteous ordinances. I'm exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to Your word. Accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget Your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from Your precepts. I have inherited Your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform Your statutes forever, even to the end." Actually, we could read the whole of Psalm 119 and we would see this same sentiment. The psalmist's desire to spend time with the Word of the Lord taught him what God would have him to do and made changes in his life because of it. Another reason that we might look to the Word of God, certainly we look in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and we read there, and we've made reference many times to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And we make reference to the passages above there. Those things are the daily needs of life. And that's the passage where Jesus tells us, do not be anxious. Do not be worried and concerned about the everyday dealings of life, but put your trust in the Lord. And if we want to be able to be rid of anxiety and to have peace, much like the Apostle Paul encouraged the Philippian brethren, we need to go and spend more time in the Word of God. Because the Word of God will give us peace, can help us to be rid of the difficulties and struggles. In Psalm 119, verse 161, "Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of Your works. I rejoice at Your word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love Your law. 7 times a day I praise You because of Your righteous ordinances. Those who love Your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for Your salvation, O Lord, and do Your commandments. My soul keeps Your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep Your precepts and Your testimonies, for all my ways are before You." And as before, many other passages in this Psalm 119 would impress us with the idea that the psalmist had peace. Wasn't bothered by the difficulties and anxieties of life because he spent his time in the Word of God. He knew the assurance that comes to one that puts his trust and hope in the Lord. We could go back to Psalm 1 and see that as well. We can also recognize that the Word of God is something that can be used to help us to set our life right when it's out of control. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, very similar to some of the things we read in Psalm 119. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Another reason that goes along with what we talked about at the very beginning is in order for us to have direction and to know the will of God, we need to spend more time in the Word of God. Each one of us has come up on instances in our life, I'm confident, where we had to consider which way to go. What's the answer I'm looking for? How can I know that what I'm wanting to do here is the right thing to do? Well, the more time we have spent in the Word of God, the better we're going to be able to answer those questions. Remember Psalm 105? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105, that is. Look also at verses 9 through 16 of Psalm 119. Verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, God. O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We need direction in our lives. As Jeremiah tells us, it's not in us to direct our own paths, to determine which way to go. The Word of God can help us with that. And the more time we spend in the Word of the Lord, the better able we're going to be to find those answers when the time comes that we need those answers right away. We need to be familiar with God's Word because it helps us to know which way to go. How to correct our life when we've turned off of the path. The Word of God is also the place that we can go. And if we spend time in the Word and carry the Word around with us because of it is the Word of God, it will give us healing and deliverance. Several times we've already noticed that the words of the Lord kept him from the evil ones. And we'll see that again as we read some other passages through the lesson. In Psalm 107 and verse 20, the psalmist says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. When I think about this, sometimes I think about the apostles and what they may have thought of Jesus having come into their lives later on. Remember, Jesus is described as the Word. He was in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John tells us in John chapter 1. And I wonder sometimes when the apostles look back at how they had lived their lives before and what changes had taken place in their lives and the blessedness in the direction that they had followed and how they had been saved from the situations that they were in. If they didn't look back and say, that's all because the Word came into my life. Certainly. If the Israelites were honest with themselves after they settled into the land of Canaan, they would recognize that it was because of the Word of God and the direction and deliverance that God gave them that they had the blessings that they enjoyed in that promised land. While they murmured and complained in the wilderness because things weren't just like they wanted them to be, they were honest with themselves. They had been saved from slavery through listening to the Word of God as it was delivered to them by the prophet Moses. Psalm 119 and verse 153 beginning. Psalm 119, verse 153 beginning. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them because they do not keep your words. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Certainly it should be obvious to us, especially those of us gathered here who are Christians and have given our lives to the Lord, that reading from the Word of God is going to cause us to grow. In fact, the only way that we're going to grow in the Lord, the only way that we're going to increase, is by putting time into understanding and knowing the Word of God. That's why Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. That's why when the Hebrew writer wrote to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5, he said, you ought to be teachers. But you're not. Why? Because you've not exercised yourself in the Word of God. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babies, we ought to long for the Word, for the pure milk of the Word of God, that we may grow in respect to salvation. If we want to grow, if we want to increase, we need to read and study the Word of God. Along those same lines, if we want to have strength, we need to turn to the Word of God. If we want to have comfort, we need to turn to the Word of God. If we want to have hope, we need to turn to the Word of God. Psalm 119 again, and verse 28 this time. Psalm 119, just verse 28. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Passage similar to some of the other verses we have read as we've looked at some of these other ideas. The Word of God can give us strength and help us in our time of grief and difficulty. Verse number 114 of Psalm 119, you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. The protector. You remember the image that Paul gave to the Ephesian brethren? Ephesians chapter 6. The image that would allow them to fight against Satan and would give them protection against the fiery darts of Satan. You remember what we've said about that image in the past as we've looked at it, all of those various parts of the armor and the weapons that were given to the Ephesian brethren, every one of them referenced back to the Word of God. That's our strength. That's our deliverance. That's how we get our comfort. That's where our hope comes from. The Word of God. Look again in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 49. Remember the word of your servant in which you have made me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I've remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. Time and again throughout the book of Psalms, we find the psalmist turned to God's word for comfort, for strength, for hope. We need to do the same. Sometimes we find ourselves in a very dark and desperate place as we go through this life, whether it be grief or it be loss or it be anything that might be oppressing us in this life. Maybe it's persecution that may come upon us. We can know that if we've got the Word of God, we can find the strength to bear up. But that means we've got to spend time in the Word of God. All my life I have emphasized in my speech the need to read and study and think about God's Word. Over the last 10, 15 years, I've really begun to give some attention to those things. And I see the difference it's made in my recollection of what God's Word tells me about various things. being able to go back and say, oh, I need to read about, oh, I can go over here and read about that. The Apostle Paul talks about this in this letter that he wrote to these brethren here. These things come because we spend more time in the Word of God. The more time we spend reading and studying from the Word of God, the more it becomes a part of our daily life, the more useful it's going to become to us. And it's going to begin to shape us in the right way. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Your words I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. In verse 33 through verse 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. The direction of our life is determined by the things that we fill our mind with. I spent a lot of time when I was a young man reading from fiction books, a lot of science fiction and all sorts of things, and I still enjoy a good fictional story from time to time. But if we're not careful and we spend all our time in those things, our life begins to travel after those pathways. If we want to travel down the pathway of righteousness and holiness, if we want to be shaped and formed into the image of Jesus Christ, we've got to spend time in the Word of God every day. Not just random times throughout our life, but on a regular and consistent basis. How is it they say to develop a habit? Making yourself do it consistently over and over and over again. In fact, they even specify the best way is to decide a time of day in which you're going to do it and do it that time of day every single day. Maybe that's why I can't get on my exercise bike any more than I ought to. I just do it whenever I feel like it, which hadn't always been that often. If we want to shape ourselves properly, we're going to have to spend more and more time in the will of God. In order for us to be able to see clearly and know we need help to see clearly, this world is a fog and a darkness. We need to know how to see clearly. In order to do that, we need to spend time in the Word of God. Again, Psalm 119, verse 97, I love your law. It's my meditation all day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimony are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, or you yourself, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yet sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Note what the psalmist says there. I'm wiser than those who have spent a lot of time learning. Why? Because I spent time in your word. I can see clearly because of the time I have spent reading and studying from your word, God. Verse 29, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water, because they do not keep your law. The Word of God helps us to see clearly how to direct ourselves. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that the Word of God will allow us to know really and truly what is within our heart. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You spend a lot of time in the Word of God, you're going to learn who you really are, where you really stand, what you really believe. It will cut deep and expose. We talk often of the instruction that the Apostle Paul gave to the brethren in Philippi that they ought to live a joyous life. Well, if you want to have joy, spend more time in the Word of God. Psalm 16 and verse 11, "You will make known to me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Verse 25 of Psalm 119, beginning, "My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I've chosen the faithful way. I've placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart." If we want to have joy, true joy, we need to spend more time in the Word of God. If we want to understand the power of God, we need to read from His Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." You want to learn of the power of God? Read of the creation. Read of the power demonstrated as He brought the Israelites out of the land of Canaan. The power demonstrated as He destroyed the Israelites because of their unfaithfulness. The power of salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you want to understand and be in awe of the power of God, read from His Word. If you want to build your faith, Paul told the Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to have more life in this life, "Your word has revived me." Several times we read in Psalm 119. We spend more time in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 113, beginning, "I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You're my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes. Their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked from the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments. Revive me, God. Give me true life. Sustain me with your word that I might live." If we want to be able to understand the difference between good and evil, we're going to have to spend time in the Word of God. And certainly there are any number of passages that we could read that would teach us that and impress that upon us. But since we're in Psalm 119, look at verse 101 and 102. "I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me." The Word of God will guide us and direct us. It will let us know right from wrong. It allows us to direct our lives, and it will proclaim to us the love that God has for us. If fact, as we've read and we've made reference to in the past, John 3, verse 16 and 17, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The ultimate expression of the love of God, and the only place we can read about it, the only place we can learn of it, is in God's Word. Certainly, we need to take time to read the Word of God. Maybe as we grow older, we need to take time to read the Word of God more. Maybe if we had read the Word of God more when we were younger, we would be better prepared for the difficulties and struggles of life as we grow older. But we can't go back and change what we did in the past. All we can do is adjust what we're doing now. And each one of us knows that life will continue, at least as assured as we can be of anything. Why not resolve to spend more time in the Word of God today so that you can be prepared for what's going to come in the future? Read the Word of God. Read it to your families. Read it with your children. Read it with your wife. Read it with your husband. Read it alone. But read it. Do you have the same kind of desire to know the Word of the Lord that we see expressed by the psalmist? Look at the last verses of Psalm 119. Let my cry come up before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your Word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You find that in Psalm 19. Do you have the desire to know and make the law of the Lord a part of your heart that you see in the psalmist? If not, why not? Let us desire to know the word of the Lord, for it is what we have to guide us in this life and allow us to be with God in eternity. When we read about the victory that is ours in Christ, we also read about the requirements that we're given in order to attain that. Is it because of God's grace that we do it without God? No, we could not. But God gives us direction in His Word of how we can attain that, how we can please Him so that we can be with Him for all eternity. We need to spend time in that Word so we can be sure that we're doing what you have us to do. Lord, build something in your own heart. If there's something in your life that is amiss and needs to be corrected, I'd love to hear and pray with you and for you on your behalf. You need to confess something before God and before the brethren here so that it might be corrected in the sight of God. We urge you to come and let your desire be known, Lord. We stand and sing. Amen.